From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
You've got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Oh, this is neat. Listen to this. It says, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. I like that. Of course, having any breath at all is a gift that should never be squandered.
Well, you take a chance getting up in the morning, crossing the street, or sticking your face in a fan.
Boy, there's a life's philosophy if ever I heard it. Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blog cast.
Twisted history.
Here we go.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
To be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
Okay.
You might be quizzed.
I doubt that. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1952, Charlie Chaplin's Limelight, starring himself and Claire Bloom, with an appearance by Buster Keaton, premiered in New York City. Strangely, it wasn't released in Los Angeles until 20 years later. Yeah, 1972, winning Chaplin his only competitive Academy Award for original score. I never understood it. He should have had an Oscar for The Great Dictator. If you've never seen The Great Dictator, you must. It's a great film. And it was on this day in 1963, the New York Yankees named Yogi Berra as manager, replacing Ralph Houk, who became the team's general manager. Yogi Berra, I love that guy. He was famous for his hilarious sayings like, it's important that when you come to the fork in the road, you take it.
Good man.
The mainstream media is so in the tank for Kamala Harris and every living, breathing Democrat, no matter how corrupt they are, that it's almost laughable. And when it comes to laughing at the mainstream media, nobody does it better than Glenn Beck and his sidekick, Stu Berger, as they did the other day. And this is just, this is just funny.
I got to get to this McDonald Gate. McDonald's Gate is really bad, Stu.
No, it was a nice moment.
No.
Here's a guy who, a billionaire, who goes through the McDonald's hiring process.
Do not spread any more mis or disinformation.
Okay.
Here's the audio of Trump managing the drive-thru at a McDonald's. Okay.
Well, that's a good-looking group. Hello, everybody. This is not a normal situation, is it, huh? How are you? What a good-looking family. How did you produce those good-looking kids? Oh, they look like the wife. They look like the wife. How are you? Nice to see you. That's great. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And there'll be no charge. Trump is paying for it. Is that okay? You're doing some extra stuff.
Oh, okay, great.
This is all on Trump.
Oh, all on Trump.
I'm allowed to do that, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Let's check and make sure. That's everything you said it would be.
It better be. It's going to be the best you ever. I made it myself.
Now, as cute as that is,
uh-huh,
here he is, quote, working, end quote, the fryolator.
Okay.
You gotta hit that timer. Bring that one up. I'm going to take care of these.
Oh, he's okay. Training.
And he's done making fries. Making fries. Okay. Now, I found out after I was bamboozled,
mm-hmm,
by this video.
Yeah.
I found out today from the press that he didn't actually work at McDonald's.
What do you mean? I just saw it on
video. No.
This
was a publicity stunt.
Wait, what do you mean a publicity stunt?
Yeah.
No.
The people in line, they were all hand-selected. So they weren't just strangers driving up to the drive-thru. No. They checked to make sure that they were the right people. And you know what I mean by right people.
No, what
people without guns.
Oh my God! Yeah. So they screen.
Right. They screen them. Has that ever happened to you at a McDonald's drive-through? No,
Glenn,
of course not.
I have to tell you this.
Of course not.
I worked at McDonald's. It was my first job.
I know.
At no point did they screen customers to come up.
Yeah, I know.
And make sure they were people I liked or supported me in any way.
You were gonna be
These
angry.
Were just random people yeah, who right. walked into the McDonald's
right.
and came up and put in the order of
and
food
I
that they wanted at that time.
I bet you had to go through an application situation.
I had to do an interview.
Maybe an interview. You didn't just walk in and say, I'm here to work at a McDonald's, and then they hand you the apron.
Not
didn't happen
at all.
That way.
No.
That's the way it happened with him.
So he didn't take the test beforehand?
The McDonald's test.
Well, they have a little like, hey, review thing, if I remember
really?
From back in the day. Like,
right,
you know, they give you kind of a walkthrough.
So it's kind of like a test, kind of like, are you crazy? Are you going to shoot us? Are you?
No, it's not required at all. They didn't all right. care about that. They just want to make sure I can make the fries.
Okay, good. No test.
This is a disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
After all I went through to get that job, this guy just walks in there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
by the way, you got to get up in the organization to be working the drive-through. It's not like the first thing you're doing.
No.
You know, this guy just skips.
Skips all of it.
This is unbelievable.
He was like practically the president of McDonald's.
How did they uncover this?
I don't know.
Because there's video.
Good journalism.
I guess so, because and they're not saying the video is AI, right?
No, that's real video. They're just saying
the whole thing was fake. What a scam.
Yeah.
I'm voting for Kamala Harris. She's the only honest person who seemingly worked at McDonald's, but has no evidence of it whatsoever.
No. Yeah, we don't think she worked at McDonald's.
We don't
think that's
so.
Okay.
But apparently the mainstream media was dead serious in exposing Donald Trump and the Trump campaign for going to a McDonald's and pre-screening customers before they went through the drive-thru. Yeah, the mainstream media has absolutely no sense of humor whatsoever. And they will do anything in the mainstream media to get their Democrats into office. If the mainstream media had their way, this would be a 100% one party country. There would be no Republicans anywhere. Trust me on this one, my friend. The mainstream media doesn't want a single Republican in the entire country, which kind of makes me want to go out and vote twice, maybe three times, maybe four times. You know what I mean? I mean, this is just so absurd. And they expose themselves, particularly on Sundays, when they have those Sunday morning talking head programs all over TV, they expose themselves to the nth degree. They may as well send their anchors into the studio and on camera naked because they expose themselves that blatantly when it comes to their political bias. And if any industry was really ripe for takeover or a beatdown through competition, the mainstream media is prime for it. I love that line in our Declaration of Independence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You know, man, that is a great way to start a document. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And if we're going to stick to the truth, which I prefer to do, the truth of the matter is, as popular as Donald Trump appears to be, because everywhere he goes, he draws huge crowds. I wish you could have seen the crowds queued up on both sides of the street where that McDonald's was there in Feasterville, Pennsylvania, when Donald Trump showed up to sling fries. The crowd was amazing. I guarantee you there has never been a crowd like that in that town, probably in the town's entire history. And everywhere Donald Trump goes, he draws huge crowds. I may have already mentioned that. And on the other hand, the other side of the coin, you look at wherever Kamala Harris shows up, there's nobody there. You know, yeah, there's a crowd, but nothing approaching even a fraction of the number of people who show up for Donald Trump. But we're going to stick to truth here. Why don't we? Donald Trump still has a bit working against him. You've got the rampant lawfare, biased media, and a sudden change in chief political rival, of course, because originally Trump was running against Biden. Now he's running against Harris, which I think in this particular case is an advantage. I think when the coup happened and they kicked Joe Biden out, which is what they did, the party kicked Joe Biden out and then installed or ordained Kamala Harris as the candidate for the 2024 Democrat ticket. There was no primary. Kamala Harris, where she is right now, the position that she's in right now as a presidential candidate, has not happened in a Democrat manner, in a Democratic manner. Nobody voted for her. I mean, this was merely a system of default. She was the vice president. Now, maybe people are happy with that. Apparently, they are. There are a lot of people who want to vote for her. A lot of people who want to stake the entire future of this country, our economic system, and our Constitution on Kamala Harris, which I think is nuts. And a lot of people, I understand people, too, who are in this position of saying, well, we're in a position of having to vote for the lesser of two evils. Or is it the evil of two lessers? But here again, we have a situation where there is a track record on the part of Donald Trump. We know what he accomplished during his 3 years in office. Not four, but three. That last year was taken away from him. And I believe the conspiracy theorist inside me believes that this was by plan. This was planned. It goes back to what that Egyptian-American stock trader, guy who's real experienced in trading stocks internationally. And he said, look, I have no evidence to this effect, but I believe that the COVID-19 virus was planted by design by the Chinese government in retaliation for the trade deal that Donald Trump worked out with them. I find it very plausible. Okay, but that's my two cents. Big deal. But Donald Trump has a lot going against him here. This sudden change in chief political rivals. I mean, I think there are a lot of people still waiting for Kamala Harris to prove herself and are hoping that she does so that they don't have to vote for Donald Trump. But let's get on the other side of the coin here. There's also a lot working in favor of the former president. There's a great article in the Western Journal by Brian Chai. And 24 of the things working in favor of Trump were chronicled by pollster Nate Silver. We just talked about him yesterday. And Silver noted that Trump has erased Harris's lead. Now, you think about that. When Harris was thrown into the position of replacing Joe Biden, she was way ahead, but she was riding on the coattails of Joe Biden. Some coattails, huh? But she was riding on the coattails of Joe Biden. Donald Trump has erased that in a matter of weeks. And he's been gaining ground, according to Nate Silver. Nate Silver is the founder of that website, 538. Now, he is regarded, Nate Silver is regarded as a data guru. And he took to his site and listed out 24 factors that have historically determined elections, favoring Trump in the lead up to this one. And it's a fascinating read, if for only how apolitical all of the observations are. The first factor that Silver called out was the fact that while Harris is enjoying a slim lead in the popular vote, the far more meaningful Electoral College vote does her no such favors. He noted that Electoral College bias favors Republicans by about 2 percentage points. And that's something I didn't know. The second factor involved the still high inflation levels and how sensitive voters generally are to that issue. I mean, how can you not be sensitive? How often do you go to the grocery store? All right, so the third factor piggybacked off of the second point and was basically Silver saying that while the data may show a recovering economy, consumers aren't feeling it. Not on a day-to-day basis. Factors 4 and 5 were also related, as they had to do with how incumbents are generally doing poorly across global elections and the role that growing populism played in those elections. Now, factor 6 was a familiar cry: illegal immigration and all the ways that the Biden-Harris administration has seen numbers surge under its watch. Surge? We're drowning in illegal aliens. Look what happened in Aurora, Colorado, Trendyaragua, that notorious and dangerous Venezuelan gang taking over apartment complexes, whole apartment complexes. They tried to do it here in Texas. It didn't work. San Antonio police got in there with a little help from our Department of Public Safety and threw them out. But that's not the last stand from TDA. TDA is going to attempt it again and again and again until something definitively is done. Now, factor 7 was how Harris doesn't have enough time or an inability, either one, to explain why she's flip-flopped on a number of critical issues, like fracking. Fracking, that's a big one for the people up in Pennsylvania. Factors 8, 9, and 10, and 11, all involve societal sentiment. As Nate Silver noted, that cultural vibes are shifting right. Voters are waxing nostalgic for Trump's presidency, and that Democrats are losing their once dominating grip on black voters. And they're losing that big time, especially among black male voters. And we conservatives are all too happy to see this. Welcome aboard. We not only need you, we want you. We want you. And Silver added that many young male voters in particular are feeling lost and drifting away from voting Democrat. Then the 12th factor called out that one of Harris' best attacks against Trump, namely attacking his age, is completely neutered because of her predecessor's previous commitment to seeking re-election. Biden would have been 86 had he seen a second presidential term. That is, seen it all the way through. He would have been 86 when leaving office. Come on, we can do better than that as a nation. And the Democrats can do better than that when it comes to coughing up a candidate. But obviously, the Democrat Party's in this position because they keep gravitating to the furthest leftist, most radical leftist candidates they can find. And this is not helping them, not in any way, shape, or form. Interestingly, the 13th factor was actually viewed as an advantage for Harris by some. Specifically, Silver said that Harris's truncated presidential election season means that she has less time to fix any issues with her campaign. And many of Harris' staunchest critics have actually argued that the shortened period of time benefits Harris, as she simply has less time to make errors, shoot herself in the foot. Factor 14 noted that Harris was a woman, an apparent detriment to the voting bloc. And factor 15 noted that the highly polarized nature of the media makes it virtually impossible for any good faith criticism of Trump to rise above the static. You know, when you look at the fact that the public, the American public's faith in the mainstream media is at an all-time low. I think only like 20% of Americans trust the mainstream media. That's not good. You know, you take any other aspect of American life, let's just say automobiles. If only 20% of Americans trusted Ford, GM, or Chrysler products, or for that matter, Honda or Toyota, man, that industry would be in even worse shape than it is right now. So then we get into the 16th factor. It was a bit of a backhanded compliment, as Silver effectively said that Trump was a good con man, which obviously would have its issues in a political election. And here again, I guess I should have mentioned from the get-go that Nate Silver does lean left. He's like every other pollster. He leans left. Factors 17 and 18 both continue. And, you know, let me back up for just a second before I go any further. I hope I remember this next thought. But I would rather have Nate Silver lean left and tell me that Trump has an advantage. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Factors 17 and 18 both continued the focus on Trump. As those two factors noted that Trump had been better at cultivating weird or oddball electoral groups. While concerns about the January 6th Capitol incursion continue to fall on deaf ears, as well they should. Factors 19 and 20 involve foreign relations, as Silver noted that the world has inarguably gotten more unstable under Biden's regime. You would have to have been living under a rock for the last 4 years not to understand this. And he added that the Israel-Hamas conflict has also divided the Democrat voter base like very little before it. This isn't a fact that actually stands out and hits you in the face. You have to actually look for this, but it's true. Factors 21 and 22 involve powerful endorsements that Trump's gotten, including from heavyweight third-party candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. And then, of course, there's Elon Musk. And the final two factors were a bit more abstract. Silver recounted how Trump has generally maximized the political potential of a failed assassination attempt, of which the president has survived two recently. You know this. And that's one issue that Harris can literally do nothing about. Finally, Silver called out Harris for mostly running on vibes and noting that she's failed to articulate a clear vision for the country. So laid out in this fashion, it's pretty clear that both Harris and Trump have a lot of work cut out for them ahead. Both of them do. I mean, here again, I think this is Donald Trump's election to lose. If you've seen any of that video at all that was taken from that McDonald's in Feasterville, Pennsylvania, where Donald Trump was slinging fries, you probably remember the lady from Brazil who, as she drove through, said, "Please, Mr. President, don't let us turn out like Brazil." Well, Martha McCallum on the Fox News Channel managed to find this lady and talk with her, and they engaged in a very interesting conversation. Check this out.
Nayara Andrzejczyk says that she was asked to attend a Trump campaign event, but had no idea that the former president would actually be working at the drive-thru until she started hearing excitement in the car in front of her. She's lived in the United States for almost 26 years after coming here from Brazil, and she made this comment.
Mr. President, Yes. Please don't let the United States become Brazil, my native Brazil.
We'll keep it good.
Please, please.
We're going to make it better than ever, okay?
Thank you.
Nayara Andrzejczyk joins me now. Nayara, I know you said that you were told you would be going to some sort of campaign event. You didn't know that the former president was going to be there or that he would certainly that he would be serving you French fries. Tell me about how all this came across to you.
That's correct. So I got I was contacted by the Trump event committee, and they asked if I was going to be willing to attend the event, and they would send me some more detailed information in the last minute, which happens just a few hours before. Said, if you could meet us at this place, you park your car in this spot and we'll meet you over there. Little did I know, you know, whole Secret Service was there and local police, state police, Philadelphia police, lots of security. So we went through the security. They sent us to the drive-thru, said you can, you know, place your order, and we did. But it was a great surprise to see him there. Yes. And I agree with you. He's totally, he's a very charismatic person and he's very relatable.
Okay. So that last part is of interest to me. And as you pointed out, and I just want to say, you know, there's a lot of, this was staged. Unfortunately, in the world that we live in, all political events, whether it is for the Vice President Kamala Harris or the former President Donald Trump, need to be in an environment that the Secret Service have an understanding around, that they have some sense of who will be attending, because we all saw what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, and they don't want to take any chances on that. But within the context of that structure of the campaign event, as you put it, how did people respond to him? Did they feel, you know, tell me what your response, what did the other people in the car with you, what did you all say as you drove off about this man who used to be in the White House and wants to be there again?
Martha, it was like meeting a friend. He looked us in the eye. The way he communicated with us, the way he greeted my children on the back seat, It was incredible. My kids were, I cannot just believe that I shook Donald Trump's hand. I'm not going to wash my hands for the next few days. So he just communicated with them. His looks and the way he shook our hands, like it was very genuine. He's a genuine man. So, there was no stunt over there. Of course, we knew something was up because of the level of security. There were a lot of people. Right. I think the news got leaked and there were a lot of people across the street.
Oh, I saw. It was incredible. There was a huge, huge crowd there all up and down the street. What did you mean before I let you go? What did you mean by don't let the United States turn into Brazil, Nayara?
So, as I said, I moved here about 26 years ago, and my parents were victim of the Brazilian corruption, government corruption. My mom lost her business, a pretty successful business, and she lost 20-something, almost 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why we moved to the United States. I am very grateful for this country. I love this country, and I don't want to see this country become the corrupt sewage that Brazil is at this moment, where politicians do whatever they want with no accountability to the people.
What's your sense of Pennsylvania? Who do you think is ahead in Pennsylvania?
Oh, my God. I think Pennsylvania, well, we have Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, who are pretty blue. But the rest of the state is Trump, no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt. So the major cities tend to be a little left, but the country is on fire. The state is on fire. Bucks County, where I work, in Montgomery County, where I live, they are on fire for Trump. All yes, right. We want something. We want our freedom back.
Man, she just summed it up beautifully. We want our freedom back. And she explained, of course, that she moved here 26 years ago from Brazil. Now, Brazil 26 years ago wasn't anywhere near as bad as it is now. But it's resting clearly in the throes of communism. And it came about through nothing more than, and nothing less, than government corruption. It wasn't apathy on the part of voters in Brazil. It came about through government corruption. And you need to understand, my friend, that that is exactly where we are right now. Look at the lawfare that has been exerted by this government against Donald Trump. We must vote for Donald Trump. We need to pray that Donald Trump wins this election, because if we lose this election, we will have lost the country. Before I send you off to tackle your day, let's go over to the Comedy Corner and John Branion.
I applaud you people, because we live in a culture now that can't laugh anymore. I mean, everybody is so thin-skinned, everybody is so sensitive, everybody is so filled with tolerance that they hate each other. That's what tolerance will do to you. It will fill you with hate and rage. And we don't laugh anymore. There's nobody has a sense of humor. I do comedy sometimes in church. I do comedy in church. And church people will come up after shows and they will ask me this question. Do you think God has a sense of humor? I'm like, well, I think he made church people. Heavens, yes, God has to have a sense of humor, because we didn't think up laughter. That wasn't our idea. That was given to us by a higher power that knew we were going to need it to get through life. Because he knew we were going to have hardship. He knew we were going to have struggles. He knew we were going to get married. He knew stuff was going to happen. And so laughter is a gift. Laughter is a gift. And that gift is manifest in every single one of you. God put something stupid in every single one of you that the rest of the world is supposed to laugh at. So when you cover up your stupidity, you are robbing people of a blessing. That's called a sin. So the cure to society's ills is laughter. It's comedy. But here's how it has to work. You have to see it in yourself first. You have to be willing to recognize your own stupidity and then share it with the people you love. Some people think they can avoid comedy. They think they can keep it out of their lives. They can be serious. You can't. You can't. Eventually, it's going to burst forth. It's in you. You're going to sneeze. There's no dignified way to pull that off. Sneezes fall into several categories. There's people like me, always know when I'm about to sneeze because I give a big performance leading up to it. I'm like, ha. And then it just disappears. It just goes right.
Get on out there and make it a terrific day. It's all up to you. And don't forget, there's no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.